Look, there's a rumor going around that I really love seafood. First of all, that's false. I like it. I don't love it, but I like sushi more. But I think what the real rumor was going around that I like women, which is totally not true. Welcome to Smartless.
Smart.
Hi.
When did you get home, Will?
I just got back today.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it's really exciting. I had a great time. Thanks for asking.
Well, So you still do it old school. You dress up nice for plane flights. Is that right? Listener, Will's got a nice collar and a V-neck on.
Yeah, I do, actually.
You kind of dress up for every day anyway.
Oh, yeah. Were you flying first class on Pan Am or something?
Or something, but let me just say.
Oh, is that right, eh?
Well, you know.
Good for you. You know, you don't need to dress up for that one. They wait for you.
I know, and I do. And you know why? Because I think that you can't coach people up all the time, but you can just model it for them. So I'm just like, I'm trying to set this standard. I'm like, I'm not going to tell everybody else how to do it. And I'm just going to do it. I'm just lead by example. And I feel like, yeah, I should look nice. Mm-hmm. I don't see why not. I was in Atlanta. You know, I had a great time. Thanks for asking, though.
No,
I really
we didn't.
Did. I had a really nice time. And it was with all my friends.
What were you doing down there? Let's plug some of your stuff.
Well, you know, I was working on the, we were making it more of these, this Lego program that I like to make. I host a Lego program and I also.
What? You do?
Sure. Yeah. And I produce it as well. And we have a really fun time down there. And.
Do you drive a GMC when you're down there or eating any Reese's candies?
I was actually, don't tell them. I was in a Chevy.
Wait, what?
But that's okay. It's within the GM family. It's okay.
Is it?
Yeah. And because GMC and Chevy are both divisions of GM.
That's enough.
And I had great meals made by my friend Brandy. If you're down in Atlanta and you need
so
great
you're
meals,
in the Camaro.
Brandy.
Oh, God. You're in the Camaro. Was it a 5-speed Camaro?
It was a Suburban.
You weren't driving. You were riding in a Chevy.
No, I drove it every day. Okay. Oh, yeah. I like to get behind the wheel of a big truck.
You had a pull hitch on that Suburban, did you?
You know. Part of the problem is
I got a cat.
Sometimes
did you wait? Did
Sean,
you
go ahead? Go ahead.
Did you? Are you done? Done? You don't have to go back. You're done.
I don't have to go back. Remember, I came back before.
Yeah,
I'm really excited. I'm really excited to be here with you guys. I literally got here this afternoon. I'm so
excited.
Happy, Jason.
Somebody loves Los Angeles, and
I
Shawnee,
do.
You're back in Los Angeles
Shawnee,
too.
I am too. We're all back. We're gonna see each other Sunday, maybe.
Oh, Sunday night, we're doing Sunday Fun Day.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Did you not even know about this?
I just got home. I'm sure Amanda's got a full menu of plans that you've created with her.
We did.
Will and I share a wife. Listener.
Yeah, it's true. I love that I know before you do, and Sean does too.
Mm-hmm. I know. It's good.
It's so good. Yeah, Sunday's going to be fun. I can't wait. I'm really excited to see all y'all.
Tracy might come.
Is that true?
That right?
Yeah.
She's in town.
No way.
Listener, this is significant.
Do we
news.
Have to explain stuff at dinner to her?
Which food is it? What?
Yeah. Well, where are the forks?
This is a fork.
Yeah.
Jason was making fun of my name before you got on, Will, and he was making fun of my last name.
He's been misspelling it all these years. It's S-H-A-W-N. And Hayes, everybody knows, is H-A-I-S-E.
No, but anyways, I had an
M. That's why you're so bad at Quirtle.
Quirtle.
And
Quirtle's like bigger than
Wordle. No, Sean, we went from Wordle to Quirtle.
I can't do it. I tried it.
And we're on
much.
So now we're on a chain with Sam Jones and with Mr.
Yes, our friend
Smartless
Matt.
Smartless's friend, Matt.
Our friend Matt Damon, and Jason struggled with Quirtle, but you know what? We've been gentle on him.
What would be after Quirtle?
Matt and I tied again today, so now we're now decided the tiebreak. You have to go to Octortle, whatever it's called. It's
Octortle.
It's so stupid, and it gets real chippy in that chain, doesn't it? You've had some good runs, but it gets chippy in there.
Will's gifted. He's surprisingly good at some things you wouldn't think he's good at, and then shockingly bad at stuff you think he'd just kind of breeze through, you know, like driving.
Are you really bad at driving?
Sometimes walking. Boy, you put a stick of gum in his mouth and ask him to walk down the street. It's something.
No. Did you guys... Yeah, go ahead, Sean. You were.
No, you go. I was going to get to our guest.
Oh, you were going to get to the guest.
Well, they've been waiting for a good 45 minutes.
No, they haven't.
We had a 5 o'clock record time, Will.
No, we had. Oh, that's my God.
True. No, just he kidding. Is. Yeah, no,
just he made me that. Panic.
I know the way he does it. By the way, Sean.
Yes.
Speaking of dressing up, you're wearing a nice shirt today.
I am. You want to know why? I swear to God.
Because first of all, let me just say for our listener, no baseball cap. And no t-shirt that says, like, Bob's Beer.
Yeah, and it's a lavender gingham button-up. So clearly, what time did Mass get out today?
Yeah. Sean, what happened? And by the way, stand up, because I want to see the Dockers, too.
Yeah, no, they are Dockers.
Tucked into some pleated khakis.
They are Dockers. They're cargo pants.
Oh, cargo pants. Ooh, what happened? Yeah. Did you unlock a time capsule from 1998?
Does it have a loop for the hammer?
I was just playing Uncharted. I swear to God, I did not make this up. I woke up today and I saw my sweats and my shorts. I was like, gosh, I wear that every day. I dress like a slob every day. Yeah, even to parties. And then I was like, you know what? Poor Scotty never sees me dress as a human being. So for Scotty today, I dressed in a nice shirt and just regular pants. And
just to kick around the house and eat your tuna fish sandwiches?
Yeah, totally. By the way, not even kidding, had a tuna fish sandwich today and a little bit of spaghetti.
Of course not kidding. There's nothing kidding about that. Yeah. This is very serious business, dude.
Anyway, thank you for noticing.
You look great.
So that's just your kick-around outfit today.
That's my kick-around outfit today. I mean, I had stuff to do, but yeah.
And is this the same haircut from 12 days ago from Skibbo?
Oh, I thought you were going to say. Yes, it is.
Oh, it is.
It's getting long, right?
It's getting long, getting a little long on top there.
Yeah,
I want to do this. Can we come in for your next sesh?
What's his name? What's his name again?
It's Skevo.
Skevo.
We're not laughing at his name.
I'm not Skevo. If you're listening, I'm not laughing at his name. I just appreciate the salon name.
I know.
Wait a minute, Jason. It's the same salon you go to. I just go to a different guy.
But my guy's name is Chris. You know, like, Skevo, you can't do anything but cut hair with a name like
Jason,
Skevo.
Jason, let me ask you, did Chris break both his hands? What's going on? Is he not?
Listener, I've got some real growth.
I actually kind of like the long hair. I was making fun of it, but
great.
It's good.
It's not great. We'll let our guest weigh in on this, but I need a hat at least.
All right, let's get to it.
Let's go with this guest.
Come on,
Here we go. Our guest today is pretty major, guys. I think you'll be impressed. I'm so excited he agreed to do this. The man is hilarious. And just when we thought he couldn't get more successful and at the top of his game, his career became a marvel. And everything shifted for this handsome, funny man, which is usually an oxymoron. He's so clearly one of the most sought-after actors in Hollywood, starring in blockbuster after blockbuster. But most important, above all, he's also one of the kindest, most humblest men I've ever known. So we really aren't worthy. But regardless, welcome to Smartless, Christopher Pratt.
Chris Pratt. No,
Chris Pratt.
I knew I had it with the Chris, damn it.
Are you serious?
I know.
Pratt.
Oh, boy. Now, Sean, you and I are going to have to just take a seat and let these two.
I know, because they
love
Lego
each other
together,
so
they're going
to
blah, 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 blah.
They went to space camp.
We were just talking about him coming on this show, and that's why.
I know.
Will, why didn't you invite him? I mean, Chris, Pratt.
I know. Why didn't you invite me?
What's wrong with you, Will?
Oh, my God. This is such a... And I just checked in with Michael recently, and I was like, what's going on with Pratt? He's like, it's going to happen. Let me just get back. I'm like, okay, okay.
Well, Sean and I are just faster
than you. I'm happy you're here.
I'm happy I'm here. Yeah.
Hi,
I'm happy
Chris.
To be here. I'm like, hey, guys.
I love that man we're talking to right now named Chris Pratt. And I don't know if you guys know, but I'm really close. I've known his wife, Catherine, for decades. Literally decades since she was a child. So I feel like she's my little sister.
Great story. Chris,
bye guys.
Welcome to the show. Look, you've got a collar on too.
I know.
Yeah, why do you look so What's nice, up? Chris?
I'm wrapping up. This is what I was, wearing today.
Eating tuna fish sandwiches?
For work. I was doing some press stuff, so they had me dress up. If you've ever seen me dress nice, it's because I did something for work.
Now, is this a junket? Is this a junket outfit or a photography session outfit or a talk show? What'd we do today?
I did a talk show. I did the Kelly Clarkson show.
All right.
Sure.
Yeah. And how was that?
It was great. We did it with the whole cast of, a bunch of the cast members from Jurassic World. And so...
Jurassic World Dominion, you mean?
Not familiar.
That was good.
That was really good.
That was a good save by my part.
So wait a minute. Let me tell you something. I watched that movie and I was blown away. That is an incredible ride. It's so
glad you said away. I'm so glad you said away.
It was blown, period.
I was like, where did you see the movie?
Why do you think I dressed up for it?
I saw all of it. My friend, however, missed a large chunk of it.
Yeah, it's
Universal's loving this.
Universal's
keep going,
so
Sean.
Happy. Yeah.
This is the kind of family content we need to get kids to.
It is so good, Chris. I hope you're proud of it because it's fucking amazing. It's
thanks,
so
dude.
Great.
Yeah, I am. It is really good. It's like a
It's a great progression from the previous movie. It just keeps getting better and better.
What's kind of nice is like the whole cast from Jurassic Park is back in this
movie. Yes, to see you guys together was so cool.
Yeah,
wait,
it was cool.
So this is us, Sam Neill and Jeff Goldblum and Laura Dern.
And BD Wong.
Mm-hmm. Were all the dinosaurs available, or did they have to make
many,
their schedules
many
work?
Of the many of the same dinosaurs came back. Some of them were a little
difficult to close.
Couldn't
make
their deals.
Yeah, sure. Their deals, yeah.
Isn't it? It's not just actors. Unbelievable.
I want to ask you something, Chris. You know, when someone is as like massively successful as you, and you know.
Last question, Sean. Oh, I'm sorry. No, that's
last. And then you got to go.
No, last question already.
No, sorry. Go ahead. Sorry. You were saying
that. I got to speed things up. When someone's as like hugely successful as you, and you know every time you open a movie that it's going to be seen by the world, do you ever go, damn, all my hard work paid off? Like, are you aware enough to embrace your own success? Can you enjoy it? Are you like, push it away? Deflect.
Yeah. Oh man,
you can't win answering this question. This is what Sean does.
Why not?
He softens you up with all the praise, and then he drops a bomb on you that you can't win.
No.
And then he says, Chris, please walk into douche town. I want you to walk into douche town.
Join me.
I want you to say something about yourself that makes everyone think that you're a complete asshole.
No. Yeah, Sean, why don't you ask him how many times a day he Googles himself, okay?
I'll answer that for myself.
No, I was asking because it's like a healthy thing to say, yes, I'm proud of what I've done. Like, it's okay to say that. Like, I just think it's so amazing that you're such a gigantic global star now, and from where you came, that you should feel proud because you have worked so hard. So I'll say it for
Amen.
You.
Amen.
There it's it is.
I will second that.
That's so nice. Yeah, I mean, look, I feel like definitely glad, like blessed and grateful. I've got an awesome manager who forces me to say no to things that I would absolutely say yes to if it weren't for my manager. So like I have, it's like the result of really great discernment on my team. It's definitely a team effort. And
that's nice.
I've been lucky enough to hitch my, wagon to these titles that were really, really special and big titles with Marvel and with Jurassic World. So it's like, not to deflect or anything like that. Like definitely proud of my contribution to them, but these were like, juggernauts that I was lucky enough to jump on, and so like it's been an awesome.
But
decade.
You would definitely not like, shy. Hold on, Will. You would definitely not shy away from something that was fully dependent on you, though, right? Without any sort of like, you'd go off do some original one act in an Equity Waiver Theater, would you not? We got him.
Oh, immediately, yeah. It would have to be the right
time of the year.
Why, Bateman? Yeah. What do you have in mind?
What do you?
And go for Will.
I was just noticing that you were saying you were really grateful and blessed, and you kind of at first said you're blessed, and I was like, that's a great. You created a nice word, which is grateful and blessed. And I feel really blessed.
Oh, that's right. It's a mashup.
Or personally, I'm Bladeful.
Glessed would be really good. Glessed would save you a lot of time. You know what I mean? It's like if you didn't have to say grateful and blessed for all the times you're forced to say that, think of all the time you'd save to do it.
I first fell in love with Chris Pratt when he was nice enough to do our little chat and giggle for, I believe it was Denny's, when Will and I were running a digital ad agency for about 3 seconds. And we came up with some. What
do you remember that
with Kekner?
Yeah. With Kekner.
Yeah.
Were you on Parks and Rec at the time or before?
Yeah, I think you were, weren't you?
I think it was Parks and Rec. Yeah, I think it might have been Parks and Rec or around then. Yeah.
Yeah, it was Parks and Rec. And what happened was, first of all, I fell in love with Pratt because when he first did that first season of Parks and Rec, and I started to watch the cuts of the show, and Amy will back me up on this. I was watching the episodes and I was like, who the fuck is this guy? This guy is fucking hilarious. He played Andy. He was Rashida's boyfriend. He had a broken leg. He was a good-for-nothing dude, like, stuck at home making her do shit for him. And she was like, oh, God, she dating this loser guy. And he was so funny, so effortlessly funny. I was like, this guy's fucking it.
And Will
man.
Doesn't give it up for a lot, Chris. That's high
I
praise.
I don't. Pratt, well, he knows. He knows how much I love him. And then Pratt did one of the funniest things I've ever seen. I saw him. Conan years ago, early on, and you probably don't remember this, and you get at one point, you're talking to Conan, and then you stood up, and you start to take your jacket off, and Conan goes, what are you doing? And you go, I'm hot. And you just took your jacket off. And nobody ever does that on a talk
show.
Nobody's
that relaxed.
I thought you were going to say that he just collapsed on the ground, and then he said, what are you doing? And you said, I just did a pratfall. That would have killed.
That it was for me, it was funnier that he just took his jacket off and then he was relaxed and just. And I thought, this son of a gun,
it's a different, it's a different beat.
Why are you so, Chris? Why are you so relaxed on those shows?
Yeah, why are you so relaxed?
Why? That's the name of the pharmaceutical that you're. Do you shoot it in the back of your knee or is it just a tablet?
I heard someone today was talking about that. They were like, I asked someone, I said, do you get nervous before you go through this? And someone had mentioned, oh, I'd take a, what did they say? There was some pill
Xanax.
That they took. There was like, I take
a Klonopin.
It was like a, I don't know if there was like a name.
Beta blocker, like a beta blocker?
A blocker.
A beta blocker, yeah.
A
Look
beta
at the
blocker.
Acting skills on Chris. He seems like he's never heard of these things, you know? It's like, what's the,
I take
a beta blocker?
Yeah, dude, Chris, by the way, that's a real thing because I take a beta blocker every time I'm around Bateman and then I can't hear him. It blocks them out because it blocks out all the betas.
A Bateman blocker.
Yeah, that's what she, beta. Yeah. No, he's calling me betas. A beta, and it's not all a Bateman thing, Sean. It's even more hurtful.
But like, I don't feel I've never had. I don't know. I think I have natural beta blockers in my.
What do you get? What do you get nervous about? Golf. I know you're a great golfer, so probably not that.
Golf. No, I'm a complete head case in golf.
Really.
Really?
So, yeah, it messes my whole game up. I can't just go and, like, you know, some of those guys are like, because the thing is, I'm not as good at golf as I am at, like, going on a talk show. You know what I mean? If I was as good at golf as I was, like, just sitting down at a talk show and shooting the shit and making people.
Well, what kind of golfer are you? Mid 80s, mid 90s?
I'm like a 14.
Yeah, there you go. That's great.
It's not great. It should be better. For the amount of time and effort I put in, I can't tell you how many times I'll be on the golf course and I'll legit go, you know what? Fucking fuck this fucking game. Right. I quit. What am I doing? What am I doing? I'm spending all my time doing this and this is only how good I am. Why? I could have written a book. I could have gotten a degree. I could have done anything with my fucking life. And then I get a good shot. And I'm like, yeah, baby. Daddy's back. So that's like the emotional roller coaster.
I know. Chris, I'll tell you what, though. One time, a couple months ago, we were playing golf. Jason and I were playing golf, and we saw a couple guys at the place we were playing. It was before the LA, the Genesis.
Yeah.
And we saw a couple pros playing, and I was having a bad day. And these guys, we saw a DJ and a couple guys having a practice round, and Jason points up to them. They're on a different hole, and he says to me, just to give me perspective, because I was in a bad place, and he goes, they can't do what you do.
Mm-hmm.
And I went,
yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
You're a professional at something completely different.
Yeah.
They're an amateur at what you're a pro at.
And I was like, okay. And it put it in perspective. And Jason, hats off. It made the rest of my day quite pleasant. So thank you.
That's nice.
You helped my experience.
I love you
so
when
much,
you give back, when I give to you and you give back to me. I love
that's
it.
Pretty cool.
Jason usually tells me I can't do anything.
You're an amateur at everything. Now get in the car.
And now, a word from our sponsor.
My dad works in B2B marketing, but I never really knew what that meant. Then one day, my dad came by my school for career day and told everyone in my class he was a big ROAS man. Then he just kept saying things like, the bigger the ROAS, the better, over and over. My friends still laugh at me to this day. I think it means calculating a return on ad spend. One thing's for sure, I'll be known as the ROAS man's kid for the rest of my days. Why couldn't you just be a fireman or a lawyer? Why? You ruined my life, Dad.
Not everyone gets B2B, but LinkedIn has the people who do. And with ads on LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people based on job title, industry, likelihood to buy, and more. Start converting your B2B audience into high-quality leads today. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/smartlist to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/smartless. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Get to the chopper. I'll be back. Listen, I gotta tell ya, of all guests we've had on SmartList, I don't know if we've had a bigger icon on our podcast than Arnold Schwarzenegger. I mean, what a treat it was talking to that guy. Arnold is an inspiration, from having reached the heights of bodybuilding to then conquer Hollywood and become a global movie star. Oh, and for his third act, he oversaw the world's fifth largest economy as governor of California. The man has truly done it all. In our interview, he shares the secret of how he's able to accomplish what he puts his mind to, what motivates him to keep working out all these years, and the extreme generosity that he received after arriving in America. You gotta listen to this episode to hear what it's like to be Chris Pratt's father-in-law and how Arnold's first comedy, Twins, has made him more money than any other film he's done. Hint, he's also a great businessman. Give it a listen if you haven't. Bye, Seps.
It's all a lighthearted nightmare on our podcast, Morbid.
We're your hosts. I'm Alina Urquhart.
And I'm Ash Kelly.
And our show is part true crime, part spooky, and part comedy.
The stories we cover are well-researched.
He claimed and confessed to officially killing up to 28 people.
With a touch of humor.
I'd just like to go ahead and say that if there's no band called Malevolent Deity, that is pretty great.
A dash of sarcasm and just garnished a bit with a little bit of cursing.
This motherfucker lied.
Like a liar.
Like a liar.
And if you're a weirdo like us and love to cozy up to a creepy tale of the paranormal,
or you love to hop in the Wayback Machine and dissect the details of some of history's most notorious crimes,
you should tune in to our podcast, Morbid. Follow Morbid on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to episodes early and ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
And now back to the show.
Pratt, let me ask you this. I've never known. I know that before Parks and Rec, you were doing a show. You were doing a much more serious show, right? What was the name of the show you did before for a couple of years?
I did a TV show. Well, it was like a teen drama. It was called Everwood. Yeah. It was on the WB.
Everwood. So, not a comedy.
One of my early claims to fame was that Sean Hayes made an Everwood joke on Will and Grace, and we all thought that we made it. He was like, "I'm going to stay at home and have Everwood with my date," or something like that. Like, that was the joke, was like Everwood, yeah, like an everlasting boner or something.
I think you had an Everwood watching Jurassic the other day, right?
Yeah. Yeah, is that true?
Wow.
Do you, I love the sound effects. We've, so Chris, but that show, not a comedy.
Right.
What was the first, I mean, God, I know you've gone on, you've done lots of different stuff, and you've done action, you've done stuff that's more intense or whatever, but for me, I feel like you've got such a comedic heart, which I love.
It's so rare. Like, in my little intro, I really mean that. Like, good looks with comedy is so rare.
Yeah.
Oh, guys, thank
you.
Really fun.
Who are you?
I can't tell who you're looking at on the Zoom.
I'm sorry.
I can't see who you.
I was looking in a mirror just off the side. I have a mirror set up in my...
You forgot you were doing the show.
Now, Chris, I know you're too humble to really address this question, but if you were to concede that you are affable and good-looking and approachable and an everyman, would you blame that on your dad, your mom? You got a brother who's like that? Like, where'd you get it from?
Yeah, where'd you get it?
I think, you know, growing up with my family, just... We were talking about this, Will, when we were down in Atlanta together. The love language is just legit burns, you know, cutting each other up, like insult love. You know what I mean? Where you kind of just say, listen, gloves are off. I will absolutely allow you to say anything you want to try to cut me down, and I'll appreciate what you do for its humor and, you know, like, no one gets their feelings hurt. And always has their feelings hurt a little bit. you know what I mean?
So it's like... Exactly.
It thickens your skin.
Yeah, you're just not allowed to take yourself too seriously.
I think that's it. I think it's like, you know, appreciating comedy and just getting the piss taken out of you.
Right, but for people who don't know, and I think Will was kind of hinting at this, is like, I'm sure you're sick of talking about this, but you worked at Bubba Gump Shrimp in Maui while you were homeless, which is like blows my mind.
Wait, that's news to me.
Me too.
How did you end up in Maui?
Well, I didn't go to college, and I did like a semester of community college that I was like paying for myself, and just I hated
in
it.
In Shrimp?
No. This is before the shrimp.
Okay.
Because I graduated. I was young. I was 17 when I graduated. I had done sports through school, so I never did any plays. However, I was always emceeing, writing, and kind of producing our assemblies at school. Okay. Following in my brother's footsteps, he had done the same thing. So I really loved the showmanship and doing these song and dance numbers and like comedy sketches in front of the school and stuff. Really kind of scoring with that stuff. I did stand up comedy right after high school. I did a community play right after high school. Started doing several plays at this local theater. So I knew I had the bug that I wanted to be a performer, but it seemed outrageous to me. I became a door-to-door salesman, and I did that job for about probably a little over a year, maybe a year and a half.
Wow. How old?
And I was, you know, from the time I was 18 to about almost 20.
What were you selling?
I was selling these coupons. So like businesses in the service industry, such as a Meineke or a Midas, or maybe like even a salon, would put together this like package of like, you know, bring your car in, you'd get oil changes. Four oil changes for $20 was the deal, but really we would sell it to the person, then they would take their car in and get free oil changes, but really the mechanic would try to like upsell them on a brake job or something like that. So it was like this, is a coupon kind
it's
of a thing.
It's criminal in nature, basically.
You just
right?
No, you just sold me.
It was slightly criminal.
A little bit of a pyramid scheme.
Kind of.
Good.
It was kind of, yeah. It was like these multi-level marketing things were like, you know, I was a, first of all, zero critical thinking skills were ever taught to anyone in my household. My mom was a checker at Safeway for 29 years. She'd literally believe anything anyone told her through her line. She's still that way, sweet, bless her heart. And so I answered an ad in the paper for this door-to-door sales thing that said, do you like rock and roll music? Do you want to make money? And I was like, oh my God, I think this might be it. I think this
both
might be
of
it.
Those things.
Oh and God. It was that was, and so for a year I did this door-to-door sales job. And after I opened my own office in Colorado, like climbed to the top. I got all the sales awards and won a free trip to Jamaica. I did very well at this job. But then I got totally burnt out and learned that my management skills were terrible. I was just really good at selling shit. And so when I tried to open my own office and I put the same ad in the paper, it turned out only ding-dongs would answer. And the guy's like, I like that. I was like, cool, let's go, let's get excited. And they're like, I forgot my shoes or whatever. You know, like, why is there... It's like scraping the bottom of the unemployment barrel.
Well, wait, what were the two questions?
Shit.
Do you like rock and roll and like to have fun or like to make money?
Do you like rock and roll music? Do you want to make money?
I mean, that's going to solicit some real questionable...
Wait, so why net?
In hindsight, it wasn't the best ad, but I was the guy who answered that ad, so I thought, that's effective. There's probably a bunch of
it
like...
It netted me, yeah.
Scooped you right up.
It reminds me of that line. Remember in Idiocracy when the guy says to Dax, I like money. He goes, I like money too. And
yeah.
Like,
I mean, like, what it really does is the true brilliance in it is it filters out people who are too critical of critical thinkers. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, it's brilliant.
If you're dumb enough to answer that ad, then you might get pulled into this multi-level marketing thing. There's like a stroke of evil genius to it.
So Colorado didn't work out. How do you get to Maui?
So I had to give that backstory to say that my mom had to fly me home from Colorado. I had like $1,500 cell phone bill debt. Oy. And I just went back to my hometown where I had like...
This is Maui. You grew up in Maui?
No. I grew up in a town called Lake Stevens in Washington State, but a good friend of mine since high school had been living in Maui. Okay. And he saw me and he was like, dude, what happened? I heard you were like a big sales in a sales company or something. I was like, he said, listen, man, I'm gonna buy you a one-way ticket to Maui. I've been living there since high school. It's awesome. We sleep on the beach. It's super fun.
Do you like to make money? Yeah. Do you like to fly to Maui?
And so he paid for my ticket out there, and then I just basically moved there. And so I had no money, but I showed up and hung out with a bunch of friends and got a job at Bubba Gump Shrimp Company and lived on the beach in this like sort of, people say homeless and you kind of like living in LA, there's homeless people everywhere. It's like destitute people. We were just a bunch of kids living camping on the beach for, you know, a year.
Because you could. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then how did, where did the acting bug and the trip to LA come from?
Well, I always had that acting bug from having performed in school and having done plays. And I was doing stand-up comedy while I was doing the sales thing. Cause that office was in Seattle. So I was performing at some like open mic nights and things like that. Like, you know, entry level. Mm-hmm. I did a college tour thing at the University of Washington and stuff, doing stand-up comedy. And so I had the bug and I waited on a director and the director saw me and was like, hey, you're cute. Do you act? And I was like, yeah, I totally act. You should put me in a movie. And the audition came and I auditioned for a movie and the movie was, you know, I got paid $700. It was shot over 10 days. It was like this one of these SAG signatory type of films. And I remember auditioning and I worked so hard on this material and And I just remember halfway through, the director said, you know what? You're pretty good. We're going to use you. And I'm like, wow, I think I got this part. That's great. I said, where does it film? Like, is it like on this side of the island? Does the other side say, oh, no, it films in LA. And in my mind, I'm like, well, I've got maybe $60 to my name. I can't go to LA.
Yeah, and plus, you've got barbecue shrimp, grilled shrimp, curled shrimp, mustard shrimp, boiled shrimp, fried shrimp, shrimp, barbecue shrimp, shrimp.
Or in salad, for instance.
So dumb.
But you met this Hollywood Titan at a table for one at Bubba Shrimp.
Cheese shrimp.
Yes.
This, okay.
Yeah, the director and her producing partner were getting ready to shoot this movie. You know, and it was like a, you know, I auditioned and then I said, I can't go to LA. I don't have any money to get to LA. And she said, sweetie, we'll fly you there. And that was it. Then I never went back.
No way.
And had you ever been to LA?
Never. Oh, well, only time I'd been to L.A. was on a door-to-door sales road trip where I came down to sell some stuff because they had an L.A. office. So they had sent me down to sell in some areas. Like, I sold in Oxnard, and I was on, like, up and down Santa Monica Boulevard and West Hollywood and stuff.
But that's so interesting because I picture, like, you in Maui or anybody who wants to be an actor. I think the last place to find work is Maui.
It's crazy. Yeah, it wasn't one of these things that I was really looking for. I was just having a good time with my friends and enjoying my life, and had that opportunity not present, like, literally shaking the tree and knocked me out of the tree and grabbed me by the hair and dragged me to LA. I don't know that I ever would have had an opportunity to pursue what was a dream of mine.
Yeah, it's wild.
You're going door to door. You're talking about, like, Santa Monica Boulevard, just going door to door.
Yeah, business to business. We would always sell to people.
Oh, business to business. Yeah. So B2B. But are you?
Hang on. It's not B2B, Will.
Jason, you're not in the thing. You're not in the game with us.
Okay,
sorry. You're not in the game. We're
B2B. You tap me in, though. I'm going to correct you on the B2B stuff.
No, you're not in the game.
That's not a phrase.
No, Chris and I, we're going. Do you think we have time to go business to business? No, because we're going B2B.
So much time.
No, we're going to B2B every second. So you're going to B2B. I'm with you. And, but you must have had crazy,
Chris, I'm so sorry.
Did you have crazy encounters? Were you going cold calling?
Yeah, I had crazy encounters. It was,
you did.
It was terrible. Terrible. It's funny now to hear actors talk about rejection. Mm. You know, they're like, dude, it's so hard. I'm like, mother, you were invited to the place where you got rejected.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sneaking through people's yards and trying to climb in their windows just to talk to someone who I'm walking right past a no soliciting sign to solicit.
Right.
And, you know,
a shotgun blast could come right through that door.
Well, I had people try to stick their dogs on me. I had, like,
wow.
I had my crew, people that I hired on my crew, you know, the elite sales force that answered the ding dong ad.
The other folks that love the rock and roll
and
money.
They would go in and rob places and stuff.
Wait, really?
Yeah. Soccer. I had hired up in Seattle on my crew, I hired a guy who was like a violent felon, a convicted two-time violent felon on house arrest. And we were like, hey, listen, this guy's great. We really like him. They're like, hey, he needs to be under supervision all the time. I was like, he absolutely will
be. I'll
be
there.
Like, hey, buddy, this is your street. We'll pick him at 5.
No way. That's
no way.
Yeah, for real. And that guy, Audie, his name was Audie. He was very sweet. He was actually an amazing guy. And he was really a special guy. Like, it sounds way worse than it was. He actually was a really great guy who needed a break and was a really solid dude. I think he actually ended up back in prison, but he had some really crazy stories. And I was like his manager. I was 18 years old. He was 42. And he's like, and it was just a wild experience.
Dude, you kind of grow up fast in that kind of thing, don't you? You learn a lot about, like, ooh, avoid this. Ooh, that's wrong. Ooh, I should go over here, right?
It's a great preparation for being an actor, I'll tell you that. Because, like, you're walking, like, for the longest time, I was great at auditioning and I couldn't act my way out of a paper bag. Like, they'd get on set and they're like, what happened to the actor who came into the thing? I was like, oh, that wasn't an actor. That was a door-to-door salesman. I walked into a room and I won the role. Uh-huh. But I didn't know what the F I was doing. I didn't know how to act. You know what I mean?
So starting with those kinds of humble beginnings and really no huge expectations or goals or plans or obviously, you know, things are incredible now, certainly in comparison to that. But even if you had come out with a bunch of ambition and confidence and plans, it still would be incredible right now. So my question is, where does your current ambition sit? Are you still looking at it through the perspective of the guy living on a beach in Maui? And if so, you're probably all good and ready to retire at any moment? Or have you morphed into somebody that is like, well, no, I'm just halfway done and I want to go to place X?
Inevitably, I have changed, and you know, I've grown a lot just because I grew up in a pretty small town, and I've just been exposed to a lot more in my life now. So, like, I'm still ambitious, but I see people similar in like, I guess, peers of mine who are prolific actors and stars of movies and brands and icons, and I don't want that. I don't want to spend all of my time trying to build like an empire or something. Because you see some folks that are really driven in that way, and that's great for them. But for me, I really feel like I want to work to live.
You get that from you. I like anytime I see you, or either in, you know, on TV or in person at a dinner that we have or whatever, I get that from you. Like your life is very, very full. Everything is gravy, you know. That's the sense I have.
I can relate to that. I relate to that too.
You're good about that, Willie.
Barbecue shrimp and boiled shrimp and Creole shrimp.
See, this is going to be a nice stitch for the shrimp we're going to make.
Sean knows what I'm doing.
I'm hungry. Tell us about the parts of your life that we might not know as much about, to the extent you're comfortable. You know, you say you work to live. What are some of those things in your life that work affords you the opportunity to do? And I'm speaking obviously not about finances, but just your personal life, your time,
because
family,
you do
stuff
work
like that.
A lot. Like, right. You're always working.
It's the truth. It's the truth. I have been working a lot. I mean, I have a farm. I'm really passionate about a farm. I have a ranch and I up in Washington State, and we raise animals and that's a big passion of mine.
What's your favorite thing to do on the farm?
Just to be there, just to be there, and to be kind of like
shoot movies. Imagine if you said to shoot movies.
Yeah. I'm doing a reality.
But like, is there a tractor you like to drive? Are you like ride horses? Do you milk cows?
Horses. We have goats and sheep. There's a lake there. I love to fish. I'm a huge bass fisherman.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Oh wow.
They say that if you want to know where your heart is, where does your mind go when it wanders? And for me, my eyes are closed and I'm just fishing this lake. And it's a 22 acre lake, and it's like an aquarium to me. Like, I've put in all these fish and I've removed weeds, and I'm constantly in my mind thinking about this lake and the type. We just put a new type of hybrid bass in there called a wiper, which is like a whitefish and striper hybrid, which is really extraordinary fish. And now we put
obviously you're catching these fish and releasing them back in.
Yeah. And I'm going up there for this summer with we have a baby that's due, and after the baby's born, I'm taking my 9-year-old son Jack, and we're going to go up there and camp for 10 days. That's so cool. It dominates a huge portion of my mind when I'm like wandering. I'm just fishing with Jack up there, and I'm going to show him these 10 movies. I've got like 10 days, 10 movies, and it's going to be like the coming of age summer.
Like what kind of movies?
What's on the list?
I got the list. I mean, they're pretty funny movies. They're like, I'll tell you right now.
Imagine if they were all Jason Bateman movies. That would be so weird. Office, Christmas
Party.
They're
all my movies.
Your own movies.
You're doing it wrong. Rambo First Blood.
Sure.
Oh, by the way, that's from that area.
This is just you and Jack going to watch these?
Yes.
Okay, great.
Dumb and Dumber.
Yep. Sure.
White Fang.
Okay.
What's that?
I don't know.
White Fang, it's based on a Jack London book, and
gotcha.
I think it may have
Ethan
Hawke when he was younger.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
Yes.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Rudy.
Best.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Toy Soldiers.
Never saw it.
What's that?
Oh, yeah.
It's like Sean Astin when they were very young, and they like their school gets taken over by terrorists, and they go crazy and
Like a Red Dawn type of thing.
Yeah, it's like that. Red Dawn.
Is Red Dawn on the list?
Yeah, it's on the list.
What about Taps? You got Taps on there?
Oh, Taps. That's great. I'm adding it to the list.
Come on, and then Chris.
We've got Bloodsport and Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, and Monty Python and the Holy Grail. Those are the ones.
Yes.
And we will be right back. Hey, listener, it's Jason Bateman. You know him for putting his body on the line in Jackass, but now Johnny Knoxville's bringing you the wildest stories from the bravest folks he knows on his new podcast, Pretty Sure I Can Fly. His new podcast, in collaboration with us here at Smartless Media, also features longtime This American Life contributor Elna Baker as his co-host. Together, they have incredible firsthand accounts from folks who surf 100-foot waves, ride 600-mile-per-hour rocket sleds, and wrestle crocodiles for fun. On Pretty Sure I Can Fly, Johnny and Elna bring you personal stories from unsung heroes that are part comedy, part adrenaline, and all heart. These are the inspirational hold my beer stories that will make you want to grab the bull by the horns, literally and figuratively. Follow Pretty Sure I Can Fly on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to Pretty Sure I Can Fly early and ad-free right now on Wondery Plus. All right, back to the show.
I was thinking about...
take your time.
I really just drifted off there. That
was granddad.
I can pick it up for
just
you if
lay
you want.
Down. Lay yeah. down. Just pull Wait, the microphone down to the floor.
There are some cool things that, Chris, I didn't know until I read this about you. First of all, I think it's always fascinating for people to hear when you audition for something you didn't get or whatever. We all have our stories. But I didn't know you auditioned for Captain Kirk and the lead in Avatar, both movies.
Jesus, you get great auditions.
And did you come close to getting them?
No, I didn't come close. In fact, it was a real, I know I've, you know, made light of actors feeling rejection or whatever, but I didn't come close. In fact, it was so not close that it was really demoralizing and made me actually truly question my potential or what I should be aiming for as an actor, you know?
For which one? For both of those?
For both of those. I remember that the role was written like he comes in. It was like maybe the Avatar.
Were you reading for one of the Avatars?
I was reading to place the role in Avatar as one of them. And then another one I was reading for Captain Kirk. And then another one I was reading for something that J.J. Abrams did. Star Trek. That was the Captain Kirk one. Anyways, I just remember reading this character description was like, he walks in and he has the it factor.
Oh,
it is just the it factor with this guy, you know? So I was like feeling a little like maybe overweight. I hadn't been taking great care of myself physically. I was like in a relationship where we were kind of drinking a lot. And I was just sort of like, you know, I walked in and I started sweating immediately. And it was a casting assistant. Mm-hmm. And she just looked at me and she just looked down and she just pressed record. And it's like, started doing her stuff while I was reading with the other casting assistant. And I saw that there was literally nothing about my audition that was compelling her whatsoever. Like,
wild?
It was like, fuck, this is, what am I doing? And I had enough of those in that stretch of, a very lean stretch in my career, by the way, that I didn't get hired for a couple of years. It was shortly before Parks and Rec. Mm. And then that's when I kind of, I just regaged, like, because early in my 20s, I was in pretty good shape. I was working out a lot. I was training. I was young, and I felt like potentially I could, you know, I was mostly getting those roles, the auditions for like douchebag boyfriend, you know, the guy would be like, hey, my dad's got his Escalade outside, okay, dumb bitch, or whatever the line was, you know, spend 2 weeks figuring out how to do that line.
I never read for any douchebag parts.
Yeah. Interesting. Really?
Yeah, it's weird. Yeah.
That is so surprising to me.
I know.
really surprising.
I've actually never seen anybody more surprised at something than you at that statement.
So I auditioned for those things, and I knew in the moment that I wasn't prepared. Like, I hadn't done the work that I needed to do physically to be the guy who walks into the room and kind of commands attention. Like, and so that was when I kind of got Andy, and I was like, wait a minute, there's something a little bit maybe more compelling about the clown, you know, that I could play. I can put this clown. I remember after the first season, I noticed I was self-conscious. Like, I feel like I'm getting a little chunky. And then I saw the stuff I was doing. I was like, this is actually really funny. And so I told Mike Schur, I was like, I'm going to gain a bunch of weight this summer. He's like, all right, dude, sounds good.
Mike Schur's a showrunner, Tracy.
Yeah, Mike Schur is a showrunner. And so Andy kind of got fatter and fatter as the seasons went on. And it,
by the way, shout out to Mike Schur, real quick.
Yeah. Mike Schur is one of the all-time funniest guys. And we
One of the good guys.
And we knew him back when he used to be head writer of Update. And we remember
Saturday Night Live.
Weekend Update. Yeah. Jason, remember how close we came to that one May where we almost got him to come and write on the second season of Arrested Development? Mm-hmm. And then he was stolen by Greg Daniels. And it was just, there was a moment. He was like, is it going to happen? Yes or no? And I don't want to blame it on Mitch, but it was Mitch Hurwitz's fault that he didn't. And Mitch knows
but
this.
But
thank God, because then he went on to The Office, and then he went on and did Parks and Rec, and then he did, The Good Place and Brooklyn Nine-Nine and all these other great shows with the great Dan Gore.
Did anybody ever tell, like, I always thought you could be the next Indiana Jones. Did anybody approach you about that? Like, why aren't you doing that?
Come on, Chris.
Well, a lot of what Colin Trevorrow did with the Owen character that I play in...
Colin's the director of Jurassic World
Dominion. He's the director of Jurassic World. But the Owen character that he, like, created, that he did with me, he bought a lot of that, you know, obviously Steven Spielberg did Jurassic Park, and so Colin was, like, creating this ode to the work that Steven had done, and I think borrows a lot of, you know, the physicality of, like, Indiana Jones. And I think that's likely why.
And the humor, yeah.
Like, with vests and the humors and the one-liners and the kind of, like, even the dynamic between my relationship between my character and Bryce Dallas Howard's character in the first Jurassic World, it feels a little similar to some of that stuff. So it was kind of an ode, in a way, to Indiana Jones already.
So what's the guy Colin like? Is he a nice guy? American guy?
American guy. Great guy. Really nice guy. Super talented and just incredibly dedicated. I watch him work, and that part of me, the small little flame in the back of my mind is like, you know what, maybe I ought to direct. Is like,
yes.
Oh, I couldn't do that. No way I could do what he does. He's so thoughtful. It's a special skill. He listens to every single person, truly takes in their input, considers it. Make sure that everyone feels really good. He has that perfect ability to, you know, not meddle with somebody, because actors are all so different and each so sensitive. You have to actually have a separate skill set of, like, understanding which technique you're going to use to get what you need from somebody.
Well, I was going to say, so Chris, that's why I was asking, is these directors who do that and the ones who are really successful have that ability to wear so many different hats, to listen to so many people, to really collaborate. And it always makes me, when I see them do that and be so good, I always think, like, how the fuck does Bateman direct?
Yeah. That's a real mystery.
What I mean? Because he doesn't possess any of that shit. He's not listening to anybody.
I don't waste a lot of time.
All he's thinking about, how the fuck can I get out of there, and why the fuck are you talking to me? That's the look on his face.
I'm trying to shorten the question.
Who the fuck told you to step to me?
I'm trying to get the fuck out of here.
Hey, unless you're telling me coming to tell me that my Tesla is fully charged, I don't want to fucking hear from you.
Hey, Chris,
well,
wait,
that's
before we let you go, I wanted you to tell me a little bit about
what you got somewhere to go, Sean.
Pulling a Bateman. I want you to tell me about The Terminal List, because it's a show coming out on Amazon that you're starting. I mean, my God, like, you have 85,000 things going on. What is The Terminal List about? And I'm sure I'm on it.
I'm so pumped about it.
Can we guess? Can we guess what it's about?
Okay.
I thought I saw a promo for you, and I'm going to go, is Pratt doing a fucking show, like a limited series or some shit?
Yeah, so we're in an airport, okay? And you are the person who's in charge of the... the standby. Okay. The people who have checked in too late and they get put on the standby list. So you are the guy in the terminal with the list making people's plane dreams come true.
This goes to show you how long ago it was that Jason flew commercial.
Yeah. Is that the way it works?
I'm going to tell you what. That's it's not that.
Okay. Yeah.
But I could see why Amazon would pass on that idea.
Whoa, but okay. don't steal my idea.
It's
based on a New York Times best-selling novel by an author named Jack Carr. Jack Carr is a former Navy SEAL, and my buddy Jared. When I did a film called Zero Dark Thirty,
sure you did,
fantastic. Yeah.
Not a bad film there.
Yeah, that was a good one. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I play SEAL Team 6 member, and in the process of doing that, I got to go down to Coronado and meet the SEALs down there and meet some guys who are training the BUDS program down
there. That's their training center in Southern California, right?
Yeah, right. That's the BUDS training program. It's like, the you know, everyone sees that carrying the logs on the beach and all that tough Navy SEAL training is done down there in Coronado.
You don't need to tell me, dude.
Yep.
You don't need to tell me that shit. Yeah, right, keep right. going. Tell everybody else. Good.
And so I met a guy down there who I ended up kind of shadowing for the character that I was playing, and he to this day is now like my best friend. He's just
that's great.
Solid as they come, awesome guy. And we've worked together. He was considering going on to Team 6 at that point, but also had always really had a calling to do acting and to be in Hollywood. And so like our paths crossed. We just really had a lot in common. We were both fishermen. We both like to hunt and get outdoors. And I just really love this guy. You know, it's as solid as they come, truly one of my very best friends. And so he knows Jack and he read this book and he goes, "Hey, check out this book. My friend wrote this book. You might want to make it a movie." And so I read the book and I optioned the book. And at the same time, Antoine Fuqua, he directed Training Day.
Yeah,
he directed me in this film, The Magnificent Seven, with Denzel Washington. And Antoine was like, I heard that Antoine was also circling this book, trying to get the rights to it. And I was like, hey, I just called him on the side. I was like, dude, instead of us bidding against each other on this book, let me get the rights and I'll just have you direct it. He said, fantastic. So we did that. And then in reading it, realized that it was probably better suited for a limited series because it's a story of a guy who, you know, the book itself is like a political thriller, but we made it more of a psychological thriller with a conspiracy element. And so it's like a little bit, feels at moments like Jacob's Ladder and has this sort of revenge conspiracy thriller. Also, this psychological thriller aspect to it, and it's 8 episodes on Amazon Prime. It's going to come out
that sounds incredible.
July 1st. It's fantastic. I'm so proud of it. It's totally different than anything I've ever done. I'm really pumped about it. It's like gnarly. And we hired my friend Jared, who was a producer, who got me the book, was a producer on it and plays a role in it. And we hired a whole bunch of people, both in front of the camera and behind the camera, who were former SEALs and Spec Ops. So like,
that's great.
We're really nailing down the authenticity of the.
That's awesome that you did that.
I love that. You know what I also love? I heard you recently talk about, like, you're always inclusive. You're always trying to get everybody, you know, together. I love it. It's so, you can feel that from you. And you got some guy to be in Jurassic Park, like eaten first, like. What was that story? Something about some, you had a contest. You didn't even ask the studio. You're like, hey, right? Something like that.
Well, yeah, this, you know, we shot Jurassic World Dominion. We started filming in January when the pandemic hit the States in February. So,
yeah, you guys were first, right? Weren't you over in England?
Yeah, we were first. We got shut down for a few months while they were sort of developing COVID protocols and everyone was hunkered down, figuring out, you know, 2 weeks to flatten the curve or whatever it was at the time. And, we went back to work and, you know, our amazing producers on.
And Universal, Peter Kramer was, you guys drafted up all the sort of back to work protocols
was
from that film.
Was that our buddy Frank? Was that our buddy Frank Marshall there?
Yeah, Frank. Yeah. Pat Crowley, Frank was on board, but Pat Crowley and Alex Derbyshire were like, I literally can't imagine how anybody could handle that job, let alone as well as they did. But yeah, they came up with all these protocols. And I mean, if there's any industry that's going to be able to take on proceeding through a global pandemic, it really is our industry. I think the film and television industry, like, we do insane shit. We climb fucking mountains. We build, like, we do incredible shit. And it's this sort of, this really hyper vigilant chain of command. We just created a whole, department. It's the COVID department. So everyone's getting tested. Everyone's doing contact tracing. Yeah. You know, it's like all these protocols where people are going to stand and the masks and the shields and all of this stuff. And people, enforcing the rules, which was a terrible job for anyone to have to do, to be like, hey, you're not 6 feet apart. Like that gets really old. But
by the way, that sounds like a great title of a movie for your father-in-law to do. We should put contact tracing.
Oh my God.
Doesn't that sound like a good Arnold movie?
Do not let this out before we get that.
Dude, this, I will not. Listen, I would,
you put him in an airport with a standby list, and I'm happy to
come on board.
Dude,
nobody's going to the fucking airport with a standby list.
Standby list is not, I hate to say it, but they're right. It's a comedy drama. It's not good.
It plays overseas.
you're off the list. And then I fucking, but I'd love to watch that. I love that guy.
But you had this fake contest or something? Or?
Yeah, we had a fake contest. So, you know, at the time we were trying to raise money for Feeding America. There's this thing called the All-In Challenge, and a whole bunch of people contributed various auction items. It raised $60 million or something like that, $59 million. And our contest item that we raised was an opportunity to be eaten by a dinosaur in Jurassic World.
Yeah.
And so everyone entered for 10 bucks. You'd get a chance to enter, and this dude named Terry Thompson from Missouri has an amazing death scene in our film. He won the contest, and we shot him on a green screen.
It's so cool.
So let me ask you about that, just as a fan of those movies. When a guy gets snatched up by a dinosaur, pulled up like that classic bit where he ripped up off the ground and chewed, is any portion of that where the person, I'm imagining the person that won this contest, got hooked up to a harness and gets snatched up in the air, and then they kind of, it becomes digital at some point?
That's typically what you'll do. Yeah, typically you're going to do something like a full like harness and have a stunt rigging crew pull a person up. Most of the time it's going to be a trained stuntman. So I think, I'm not exactly sure what they did with Terry, because he was in Missouri and we were in London, and they weren't going to, like, we literally couldn't even fly our own family members out there. So they set up the whole green screen and did the whole thing.
Wow.
Where he was.
In Missouri?
In Missouri. I think they shot him on a green screen just riding a scooter and then maybe did everything and maybe did a scan on him, like one of those body scans that they do.
Yeah. That's
and then did everything
so
else.
Cool to get,
so I'm not sure that they put him through the stunt stuff.
To get people involved and to bring fans in and kind of bring them into what you...
Cool.
And Sean and Scotty, you guys did that thing where you got people out of that contest and they come over and eat a plate of bugles with you and Scotty, right?
Yeah, and who can count how many bugles in the bag and then eat them all?
Just work your way through a bag of bugles. Bugles on Sean's couch. What was the name of it?
Yeah, the big mislead was whoever can guess as many, how many bugles are in the bag, they get to eat them. But the mislead was everybody got a box at the end anyway.
Sure. Which cut into the profits, because you guys only raised, what, a couple $100, I think. Was it in?
Yeah, we bought more bugles with them.
Work your way through a bag
Chris
of bugles.
Chris Pratt, listen, it has been a pleasure. Thank you for being here. Thank you for wasting your time with us.
Sorry,
today.
Chris.
Pratt, you're the best.
This is such a pleasure, you guys. I'm a huge fan of your guys' podcast. I love what you're doing. You're all so funny.
We'll pay it back to you on the golf course.
Hey, listen, I also want to say you have earned, with all the stuff you've done with the Jurassic World Dominion and now your new series on Amazon, you have earned your 10 days with Jack. I'm so psyched to hear that you guys are going
about
to do
the
that.
Farm,
have the best time.
I want to come up there sometime. That sounds awesome.
Oh, you would love it. Anytime. I would love to have you guys up. Anytime.
And also...
Yeah, dude.
Some golf.
We know we're back.
What's that? Yeah, I'm back.
Is that golfing?
All right, that's going to be fun.
All right.
Chris,
all right,
thank
thanks,
you.
Chris.
Thank
love
you very
pal.
Much, buddy.
It's a pleasure to be here. Keep up the good work. See you down the road.
Great to have
you. See you, pal.
Bye, pal.
Sean, what happens? Does Bugles, do they send it to you? Was it their idea or you guys?
Did you just reach out to a sponsor, any sort of chip?
Well,
they bit?
It's
Cheetos.
Chex Mix? Chex Mix? No, people at Chex Mix never come back to you.
That's what I was trying to say.
The gang at Chex Mix.
But listen, your heart was in the right place.
Yeah. No.
Sorry. Go ahead, Sean.
No. That's it. Go ahead.
I was going to say that, you know, if anybody's out there from Bugles or Chex Mix or Cheez-Its.
Cheez-Its. That's what I was thinking of.
Cheez-Its. And if you want to have.
I actually love Cheez-Its.
We're prepared to have ourselves. We can do like a taste test or something like that, because these are the things that people really want to talk about.
I love Cheez-Its.
Let's get back to the incredibly unpleasant, nasty.
Chris Pratt.
Just negative. How do we get through that hour?
He's so,
my God,
so naturally funny.
You know what's so funny? When he kind of hit with Jurassic World and Guardians of the Galaxy and he became this huge, you know, international star, you look at him and you go, yeah, what took Hollywood so long? I mean, look at this guy. The second I saw him, I was like, that's like Indiana, like I said, Indiana Jones, or like, you know, he's a leading big blockbuster star.
And he wears it well. He really is the same guy that he was 15 years ago.
Yeah, he's so grounded and normal.
Great guest, Sean.
Yeah,
nice
really
going.
Great.
I've always been crazy about him. And Will, I mean, that should have been yours. I guess if you'd been a better friend.
I talked about it. I saw him like a month ago when we were in Atlanta and we spent the day and
Yeah.
And I was like, I want to have you on, and great. Yeah. And I called Michael, MGT, and everybody knew.
But Sean was ahead of you with that request.
Michael and Bennett and Rob and everybody was conspiring against me again.
Ermyerv.
Robert Ermyerv is proud to be part of our team. Sean, so now Jason kind of made a joke of it, but what are you? Are you taking that shirt out?
Today I did. I did already.
Tonight, what are we doing? What's dinner?
That's an evening outfit, too.
Dinner's going to be at home. Dinner's going to be at home.
Look at it.
It's gonna be,
what is it?
Well, I had spaghetti, like I said, and tuna fish for lunch.
Jesus Christ.
Sorry, no, you didn't mention the spaghetti the first time.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, I had a half a tuna and then like a plate of spaghetti. And then I had a little bit of cheesecake.
Wait a second.
That.
Together? Do you have tuna fish and spaghetti together?
Yeah, you just take a glass of milk and you...
Do you have a big race tomorrow or something? You trying to get your carbs up or...
No.
Are you planning? Are you gonna be fasting? Are you gonna do a? Are you going on a hunger strike?
No, I'm not. I'm not fasting. I'm fatting.
Are your veins too clear? Is it there's too much blood flow?
So you're doing this. You had spaghetti and tuna. How do you top it tonight?
Yeah,
I gotta have a salad. I gotta do something healthy tonight because that.
So what do you think it'll be?
So it'll be a wedge with blue cheese.
I think it'll probably be a salad. It'll be a salad, just like maybe a BLT salad.
You mean a salad between bread? Yeah. Now, are you going
to... No, I know, a BLT salad.
Are you going to go make it, or are you going to go pick it up?
Yeah, I'm going to go pick it up. Yeah.
You are?
Yeah, I got to eat something good.
Well, we can cut this, but we won't, but we could cut it. Where are you going to pick up the salad from? Jason, your lighting is fucking phenomenal.
It's
like
amazing.
Indie film much?
So does Chin Chin make a BLT salad?
No, there's a restaurant near me that makes a BLT salad.
Yeah. I don't understand. How do they fry a salad?
How do they wrap a salad in one of those little dough pinches?
They just dump on the lettuce. They just the same thing they use for the fries. And then they just, the basket, they scoop it
oh
up.
Oh, my God.
You guys, I have one word to tell you. Ready?
Yeah.
Bye. That's it.
Bye.
Smart.
Smartless is 100% organic and artisanally handcrafted by Bennett Barbaco, Michael Grant Terry, and Rob Armjarf.
Smartless.
If you like Smartless, you can listen early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. Before you go, tell us about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.